Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Is it?
Rita.
Oh, well, is this an organ?
Fairly sustainable music instrument.
Sure.
It's got a long lifetime, doesn't it?
In it.
Has a long sustain.
Built to last.
Has a long sustain.
No, don't. Do not. Okay, actually, sorry. Spot on. That's a pretty good gag, I suppose. What's on the agenda? What's going down? And
I don't
want to
say it out loud because it sounds so boring. But we're going to talk about the budget that's just been announced.
Okay. And how that relates
to... Don't change station. The word budget, eh? Everyone's like, ugh.
How did Doc fare?
Everyone's on a budget in BFM, though.
Yeah,
so
well,
I think
yeah.
We respect budgets in the BFM realm of things.
We respect them, but they're a bit boring.
2 + 2 = 4. Is it just all numbers?
No, there's a few numbers in here. I just thought I'd sort of highlight some of the stuff that happened for the environment. The doc budget is looking pretty sad. It was stripped back over 9 years to the point of it. I mean, they're kind of more parks and recreation than they are doc.
Department
you know?
Of Conservation is now more parks and recreation.
Yeah, well, the budget that they have really only...
Like it's a joke? Are you saying it's a joke?
Yeah, there's a double joke there. It's the budget's really only enough to sustain the parks and recreation side of the dock business, and the rest of it. So there's going to be a long time to build that back up to where it should be. But they did get a little bit of a boost to help them fight the 1080 protesters, which is
water guns or something? What are you talking about? Apparently it's been getting quite violent out there.
It's been getting really bad, yeah. Yeah, I feel sorry for them. It's awful.
Is it because people don't really understand 1080, or is it just because they just...
I think there's a few things going on, but...
It's not fair for the dock people, that's for
it's
sure.
Really not fair. Like, they're just doing their job.
Hard out.
It seems... I mean, there's a few things going on, and of course everyone has concerns about poison being dropped on the land, but... it seems to just be tied up a lot with the people that want to go hunting and feel their right to go and hunt like deer and stuff.
It's a long game we're talking about here, eh, that people don't really understand when it comes to 1080, isn't it?
Yeah, and also if you say like the actual, you know, like deer and these animals that are going out to hunt, like the aim of this is to eventually get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're going, well, that's what I like to do with my spare time. and so they really want to hold on to that right or privilege or whatever it is. But anyway, so...
Remember when Tony Hawk was trying to do the 1080 for ages and then he did it? That was me.
Escape
different
move.
Different kind
different,
of 1080.
Totally.
But it was still pretty great.
But there were some other interesting announcements. So they're going to spend $229 million on a sustainable land use package.
Shit, they're using the word that we use.
I know.
All right.
It's like it's becoming popular.
Does that mean less sort of incentives going dairy's way?
I would actually see this as a further incentive, but to disincentivise them to de-stock. You know, it's
right.
Like incentivising it. So basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the farmers... So a report came out that said... 82% of rivers that flow through pastoral land are unsafe for swimming. It's a pretty shocking number. So what they're going to do with this money is use it to protect at-risk land, so that those low-lying rivers. They're wanting to do things like improve technologies and monitoring tools. So at the moment, like a farmer, if he puts nutrients on their land, they have some pretty good technology for monitoring how much of that will run off.
Yeah.
So they're going to put some more money into that kind of thing and making sure all farms have that technology and that it's improved upon and that kind of thing. And also restoring the rivers by doing things like helping farmers buy trees,
planting hemp around each farm kind of thing to help absorb the shit that before it goes into the river.
Yeah, so planting around the rivers to make sure. So I mean, you know, yeah. Well, hemp, you gotta still want to have a license for hemp. It's so ridiculous.
It's silly, isn't it? Now we know we can sell it as for human consumption in this country now, so why do we need a license to...
It's stupid.
It's because it looks like DAC and everyone gets excited from the road.
Although I did hope... This is complete sidetrack. But I did hear, and I'm not sure, so this isn't a scientific view, but I did hear that hemp will make... stop a normal marijuana plant flowering?
It can. I guess it can... it can change the sex of other plants and stuff like that. So yeah, it might turn it into like a male.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I
anyway.
Think the pollen from the hemp plant fertilizes the marijuana plant, the cannabis plant.
And then turns that into a hemp
And then makes
plant?
It a weaker strain.
Ah, okay.
That's what it does.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
It's all anyway. It's all nature doing nature.
Nature doing nature. That's what we're into around here. I think that this particular sustainable use land use budget is kind of really bad economically because what it's done, well, what we've done is we've allowed dairy intensification, which has kind of allowed diminishing returns. So what farmers have done is they've put more cows on their land, which has required more inputs. So they've had to then bring in nutrients and stuff to feed them, which has resulted in more revenue but less profit because they've had to like invest more in upkeeping this land. And obviously that's put more pressure on the waterways. And now what's happening is we're paying $229 million in our taxes to help clean that up. So it's now that cost of that bad economic decision making.
Why don't the farmers clean it up?
Well, I mean, I feel sorry for them because they've been put in a position where they've been convinced by like fertilizer reps and banks to go and further intensify. Like, hey, you need to build this big shed for your cows, and you need to buy all this stuff, all this fertilizer and stuff. And so they're in massive amounts of debt. So they're kind of stuck in this cycle where they have to keep all the stocks because the revenue looks good, but they're working harder for less money. And the farmers that didn't invest in that boom and kept going with less cows and milking them less often are actually kind of doing better financially now because they're making their cows are more productive because they're, you know, able to focus on quality and not having to put all this money into cleaning up and fixing problems that have been created. So I feel sorry for them and asking farmers to pay for this now. Some of them are like, it would bankrupt them, you know? So we kind of need to help them out, I guess. It's just a bit of a shame that it's got to this point. And if we want to fix the problem, the simple solution is just less cows.
Stop growing cows, maybe grow something else.
Are there any truly
simple?
Truly
rivers will clean up themselves. Like, they're really amazing ecosystems.
I don't know how much damage plants do to rivers, but I think if you're spraying a plant with a bunch of shit, it'd probably do bad for the river. But otherwise, what harm would like a corn crop do to like a river compared to a cow crop?
Well, it's the same sort of problems, like nutrients. Because like, what happens is when you when you harvest the corn, you strip all the nutrients out of the soil, and you do that a couple of times, and there's actually nothing in the soil. So you're basically just having to dump nutrients onto the soil.
Ironically, maybe some cow shit or something.
Yeah, which is runs off. I mean, the thing about cows is that they produce quite a lot of waste, which then goes through, and then so there is additional waste there, which corn doesn't produce.
Are there any farms that we could look to, which are doing like really diverse, you know, like agriculture or horticulture or anything like that, you know, which are, they've got multiple crops, there's diversity on the farm, they're doing it a good, clean way.
I mean, there's a few farms around that are doing some really cool work in that permaculture space and working on, you know, like basically anything that comes onto the land. It's as simple as this: anything that you're having to bring onto the land has to go off somehow, you know? So the more shit on, more shit off. And so there's farms that are like closed systems where they're like, we're not going to bring anything in. Everything here, we're going to reuse. So if a cow, you know, shits, we're going to spread it in the corn paddock or whatever to help fertilize it. So it's like a closed system. Mm-hmm. It's definitely doable. And it's just probably not that helpful that we can't really feed the world
make it a bit
that way
place.
yeah anyway, so back to the budget.
Close borders.
No, I mean, New Zealand produces far more food than we need as a country. We're an export country, so we can export it, but we probably don't, like, we focus completely on milk and we could be focusing on hemp
but
milk.
Is that a problem though, because we're trying to export so much that we're just actually like, oh, we're ruining our country because we're trying to export so much stuff. Maybe if we just made enough for everybody here, that would be great too.
Yeah, but then we'd probably be quite poor. And I think that's what...
No, but we would have you some milk and butter.
Oh, yeah, and we'd be happy. I don't know. Maybe we'd be happier. That's what was really nice about this budget, or that was kind of picked up by the global news media, is that there was a definite shift away from GDP, because that's what GDP measures, right? Hey, you've got heaps of import, heaps of exports, you know, your gross domestic product is increasing, great, but it doesn't look at like what you're doing to your soil in the meantime and what you're doing to your trees or whatever. So this wellbeing budget was about shifting away from just that GDP metric and looking at a broader picture of what we're doing. And that's probably the most exciting thing that happened in the budget for our environment, is it's a step in the right direction to recognising that it's more than just money.
Quick little poll.
Sure.
Are you guys for or against eating butter by itself?
I'm against that.
Yeah, I'm against that.
Unless you're making like a Devonshire cream with it.
No, just eating butter by itself.
Like, do you mean, do I like butter. Doing it?
Yeah,
or
just
do you think,
eat, like, carve a little bit of butter off a block of butter and eat it by itself.
I mean, I've done it and it's yummy, but it's not very good for your heart or the environment. So I try not to make
that
a
habit. That was my question.
I'm more of a block of lard kind of guy.
Block of lard.
It's just all this chat about butter. I was like,
you started to, oh, yum.
Okay, sorry, Rita.
Lewis Road Creamery. Yum, yum. what else? We got $107 million to help.
Is putting it on your skin count as eating it?
I haven't rubbed butter on my skin.
It's really expensive. That's a very expensive moisturiser.
I feel like you get acne after you've done that as well.
Yeah, like blocks your pores.
Is it the same as eating it though? In which case, yes, John, I have done that.
And you like doing it by the sounds of things.
Bloody-o. Support your local farmers, everyone.
Okay, Rita, what else? What else is in this budget? We're looking at the budget and what it meant for the environment, correct?
Yep. So the next big thing was $107 million to help us meet our Paris Agreement obligations. And just a little reminder, that were the Paris Agreement that we signed was to keep temperatures, global temperature, do our part to keep global temperatures under 2 degrees pre-industrial levels. And for those of you that go, oh, we're such a small nation, we don't make a difference, we use 3 times more greenhouse gases than we have population as percentage of the world. So we're really not doing our part at all. And it is to, our obligation is also to strengthen the ability to deal with the impacts of climate change, which is a no-brainer. And this money will be used to set up and implement an emission trading scheme auction platform, which I feel like we've done before, so I'm not entirely sure why we're doing it again.
Wait, the one before that, and strengthen the something to what?
Strengthen the ability to deal with the impacts of climate change.
So does that involve maybe taking more climate refugees? Or
It wouldn't come out of this budget, right. And the climate... The Paris Agreement doesn't really cover that. Mm. What does is that migrant pact that we signed, or we were going to sign, I'm not sure where we landed with that. It's things like putting up things to stop erosion, like seawalls, and maybe moving your people away from the ocean, that kind of thing.
So it's like focusing on ourselves, not...
So I mean, there is an element there that's develop a low carbon society, and that's on a global level. I don't know, it is a global effort, so I think that this is really nice, but $107 million isn't a lot of, it's a tiny amount of money, so it will literally be sucked up writing risk assessments and adaptation plans. Like, $107 million doesn't seem like a lot. But I have heard a lot of people going, why do we put money into the Paris Agreement? And I'm like, well, I mean, even at a bare minimum, to help us deal with the impacts of climate change, $107 million doesn't seem like a lot of money.
No.
It does. That amount does sound like people are using all the money, though, and no one's, like, skimming any off the top, because I'd expect, like, $100 million. But $107? That's good. That means they're using all the millions.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They've been very specific. Somebody has tried to fight for 108 and it got knocked back, you know?
But it's saying that it could be like 107 million and a few thousand on the end that someone's just getting your car out of.
It'd be interesting to know. Well, no, it wouldn't. I was going to say to dive into this a bit more, but
Snowden.
No.
Yeah, someone will tell us.
A few other little ones, $27 million to support a new energy development centre, which is clean and renewable energy sources, which I thought was quite interesting. I was like, oh, don't we already do that?
Is it like a learning centre?
There's another $20 million on an energy tech resource, a research centre. That's going to be in Taranaki, and it's to test and trial offshore winds, hydro, solar, and waste to energy. Okay. And I think that's really good because we've got a really amazing workforce down there that are, you know, engineers, and they're all very much so, you know, trained in this, in the area of energy, and we're shifting away from oil. So it's a great way to kind of slowly redeploy them into, you know, other areas of energy. Again, $20 million probably doesn't go very far these days. And $4 million again.
I could do a fair bit with that.
Well, you could, but have you seen the costs of
infrastructure? I couldn't do a fair bit for other people with that.
No, exactly. Get you like two houses in Auckland these days. And then the last one that was quite interesting, but again, a tiny amount of money, $4 million to improve recycling and resource recovery.
God, that's nothing.
Oh, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's a joke. So I think we're just completely, like,
we've still got our head in the sand.
We're not looking to create an industry out of recycling just yet. In New Zealand, obviously.
No, I think this, like, $4 million is probably enough to, like, investigate it for
it's
future.
It's kind of like go look at the pile of rubbish and go, that sucks.
Maybe it'll probably buy a little rental land to put the containers that have been sent back from Malaysia.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, totally. That's totally it. And some litigation money for the you know, for the lawyers that have to write some paperwork for it. So, they are going to focus on tires, lithium batteries, and plastic. But I feel like it was like, oh, and plastic, you know, whereas plastic's like a massive.
No, those lithium batteries, they'll get you.
God.
Yeah.
Got to make this an election issue, don't we?
Well, I think it's going to. I mean, you know, there's that north of Auckland at the moment, there's that huge waste tip that's being knocked back by locals, and it's happening.
You talk about the North Shore?
Yeah, they don't.
They can hear us, you know that, right? Shit. Hey, stay tuned. Sorry about that. Miss you, North Shore. Love you. Miss you.
All right, Rita. Shall we wrap? We'll wrap it up there. And maybe next week we could talk about the worst case scenario. There was some news last week about
us only having
30 years left on the clock.
Fucking years.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that.
Doomsday stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
A
little happy flute.
Yeah. Just go out on. Have a good week.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95BFM.